sin is a major topic in the Bible, in Scripture. So sin is introduced to us within the first verse of the third chapter of the very first book of the Bible. And, of course, sin is prevalent throughout the Bible, and it's also referenced again in the sixth to last verse in the Bible. So the way we have it structured, sin is literally from the beginning to end of the Bible. So as it's safe to say, it's a pretty major topic. Scripture also speaks of many different types of sin throughout Scripture. So this morning, we're going to take a look at sin. Now, we're not going to take a look at sin as a whole because that's a huge topic and we'd never make it today. But we are actually going to look at a specific mention of sin in Scripture. So we're going to look at the sin that's mentioned in the 19th Psalm. So if you'd like to, turn with me to the 19th Psalm this morning. We'll begin there. Psalm 19. And we are going to break into the middle of this psalm by beginning in the 7th verse. Psalm 19, we'll begin in verse 7, and we'll be reading verses 7 through 13. And I'll actually be reading today from the English Standard Bible, so it might be a little different than what you have in front of you there. So Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and dripping of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping them is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless of great transgressions. So David, presumably David here is writing this, keep back your servant from presumptuous sin. So why would David specify this one sin? You know, James 2, chapter 10 reads, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. So does James 2, verse 10 tell us here that all sin is absolutely equal and all has the same punishment? You know, or is there something specific about presumptuous sin mentioned here, referenced here by David himself, that outweighs perhaps some of the other sins? Is there something about presumptuous sin that would make him want to point it out specifically in this Scripture? So today, we're going to look at Scripture and we're going to see exactly what presumptuous sin really is and hopefully get a better understanding of why David would have referenced it in this psalm. Now, the first thing we need to do is to define presumptuous. The Oxford Advanced Learner's Dictionary describes presumptuous as overconfident in a way that shows a lack of respect. So in the context of Psalm 19, this would be a lack of respect for the law, the aforementioned law, and thereby a lack of respect for God. The Hebrew word used here for presumptuous is pronounced Zed. It's spelled Z-A-D-E. When this word is found elsewhere in Scripture, it's translated arrogant, proud, boastful, and insolent. So it's a manner of placing oneself basically above the law, if you will, is a way of looking at it in the context of Scripture. You know, we see the same word, the same Hebrew word of Zed, translated presumptuous again in Deuteronomy chapter 17. So we'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 17 to get a little better idea of how this word is used in Scripture. So Deuteronomy 17, Deuteronomy 17, and we'll begin in verse 8. Deuteronomy 17, 8 through 13. And to give you a little backstory of this verse, a little context here, this is in relation to the decisions of the priests and the judges of Israel when a matter cannot be settled by two individuals. So in that instance, they would go to the priests and to the judges, and the judges would make a ruling. So we'll pick this up in Deuteronomy 17, verse 8. If any case arises requiring decision between one kind of homicide or another, one kind of legal right and another, one kind of assault and another, any case within your towns that is too difficult for you, then you shall arise and go up to the place that the Lord your God will choose. And you shall come to the Levitical priest and to the judge who was in the office of those days, and you shall consult them, and they shall declare to you the decision. Then you shall do according to what they declared, Then you shall do according to what they declare, and you from that place that the Lord will choose. And you shall be careful to do according to all that they direct you, according to the instructions they gave you, and according to the decisions which they pronounce to you, you shall do. You shall not turn aside from the verdict that they declare to you, neither to the right hand nor to the left. So this is saying that, you know, once they make a ruling, you know, it's a law that you need to follow it. You have to follow it. And continuing on, verse 12, the man who acts presumptuously, can also be translated arrogantly or insolent, by not obeying the priests who stand to minister there before the Lord your God, or to the judge, that man shall die. So you shall purge the evil from Israel and all the people who hear and fear, and will not act presumptuously again. So presumptuousness, which is not only difficult to say, presumptuousness, in this case, involves not heeding the word of God by being rebellious and defiant to the decisions of those whom God has personally placed in that position of authority. So God has placed them in that position of authority. He's given them the right to make the decisions. And if you do not heed to that decision, the punishment was death. To show defiance in the face of God's chosen priest and his judges, it was also showing defiance to God. And the result of that was death. There was no second chance. There was no leniency. It was plain and simple execution. Now, death was not chosen as a punishment in this case by man. Man didn't deem that the punishment for this. This was directed by God. This is the structure that he set up. Because God himself knew that such an example of arrogance and blatant defiance for him would spread throughout the people. It would spread throughout the assembly. And God would not allow for that insolence and that attitude to continue. And thereby the punishment was death. You know, this shows us that this attitude of presumptuousness was very offensive to God. It was highly offensive. You know, obviously, God did not, and of course does not, take the same approach with all sin. If he did, every time one of us sinned, every time one of us did something that didn't follow God's path, we could be immediately put to death under this law, and therefore no man would exist on the earth because we've all sinned. So obviously, there may be a little bit of a difference here then in presumptuous sin and other sin. So to back that up, we're actually going to look in Scripture to see if there is a difference pointed out in Scripture between presumptuous sin and what we, I guess, could coin regular sin, if you could call it that. So we're going to look in Numbers chapter 15. So if you'd like to turn with me to Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15, God establishes a difference between presumptuous sin and other sins. You know, God lets us see here in Numbers chapter 15, beginning in verse 28, actually what he expects us to do when it comes to sin. So Numbers 15, beginning in verse 28. And the priest shall make atonement before the Lord for the person who makes a mistake when he sins unintentionally, to make atonement for him, and he shall be forgiven. You shall have one law for him who does anything unintentionally, for him who is native among the people of Israel, and for the stranger who sojourns among them. But the person who does anything with a high hand, also the same word translated presumptuously, the New Living Translation says those who brazenly violate the Lord's will, whether he is native or a sojourner, reviles, now pay close attention to that word because we're going to expound on it, reviles, also translated blasphemes, the Lord. And the people that people shall be cut off from among the people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. That person shall be utterly cut off, his iniquities shall be upon him. So now we get to the meat of the topic. Now we get to the heart of that matter, right? The King James Version uses reproach instead of reviles, but the same Hebrew word is used seven times in Scripture, six of which are translated blaspheme. So to revile the Lord is to blaspheme the Lord. It's blasphemy. A presumptuous person, as we've read in Scripture here, reviles the Lord. Thereby, they commit blasphemy. So now we see why King David thought it so important to point out this sin specifically. You know, he didn't just say, keep me from sin or allow me not to sin. He specifically referenced presumptuous sin, because the Lord considers presumptuousness against him to be blasphemy. You know, this is a great reason for us to really make sure we don't commit, you know, that type of sin, or any sin in general. But so now we'll bring this forward. You know, this was all Old Testament under Israel. Now we'll bring this forward, and we'll look at the New Testament, and we'll see if the New Testament definition for presumptuous is the same as the Old Testament. So this time, if you'd like, turn with me to 2 Peter 2 and verse 10. 2 Peter 2 and verse 10. And we're going to jump into the middle of a thought here. So 2 Peter 2, verse 10. And especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority. Bold and willful, there again, the word is translated presumptuous. They do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. So even in the first century church, presumptuous sin was still considered blasphemy. It still had the same definition as it did in the Old Testament. So we see that if the first century church, of course, we're supposed to mirror the first century church, if they considered presumptuous sin to be blasphemy, then we should consider it the same also. So as we see, presumptuous sin is willful defiance of God's law, willful defiance of God himself, God's word. This defiance brings upon reproach towards God, because the person who allows himself to be full of this attitude of arrogance and boastfulness and pride and insolence, they will inevitably despise God and God's word and anyone who follows God's authority. You know, presumptuous sin is accompanied by pride to the point where rebellion is considered a prudent act. You know, so that person is blind to God's authority, and their only thought is on self and their own rightness. That's what presumptuous sin leads to, is thinking you're right, or you're better, or you're more perfect than God. You know, we saw this happen with Satan. We didn't cover those scriptures, but every one of us sitting here knows the story of Satan. You know, we know that his pride and his vanity and his arrogance led to where he's at and his punishment. And he will be inevitably be cut off and his iniquities would be placed upon him forever, just as Scripture has told us. So David had the wisdom to see that presumptuous sin had much more dire consequences than a sin of ignorance or a sin of slipping up, something that could be repented of. Presumptuous sin leads to an attitude that takes you away from repentance, just as it did with Satan. So we should remember that this sin that can be repented of is completely different than a presumptuous sin. And we should strive to stray away from that. Because just as it did with Satan, presumptuous sin can become unpardonable if you get to that point and that attitude. And it leads those who commit the sin to eternal death.